12. That night, Charlotte awoke from a nightmare of flying. She sat up in her cot, springs crying out like a nest of birds, and could still feel herself swooping down through the clouds, the wind on her face. Always dreams of flying, dreams of falling, wingless dreams where she couldn't steer, couldn't pull up, a plummeting bomb zeroing in on a man with his family, a man turning at the last minute to shield his eyes against the noonday sun, a glimpse of Charlotte's father and mother and brother and herself before impact and loss of signal. The nest of birds beneath her fell quiet. Charlotte untangled her fists from the sheets, which were damp with all that dreams wrung from terrified flesh. The room hung heavy and somber around her. She could feel the empty bunks all around, that sense that her fellow pilots had been summoned away in the night, leaving her alone. She rose and padded across the hall to the bathroom, feeling her way and sliding the switches up just a fraction to keep the lights dim. She understood sometimes why her brother had lived in the conference room at the other end of the warehouse. Shadows of unpeople stalked those halls. She could feel herself pass through the ghosts of the sleeping. She flushed and washed her hands. There was no going back to her bunk, no chance of returning to sleep, not after that dream. Charlotte tugged on a pair of the red coveralls Donnie had brought her, one of three colors, a little variety for her locked-up life. She couldn't remember what the blue or gold ones were for, but she remembered reactor red. The red coveralls had pouches and slots for tools. She wore them while working, and so they were rarely the cleanest. Loaded up, the coveralls weighed near on 20 pounds, and they rattled as she walked. She zipped up the front and made her way down the hallway. Curiously, the lights in the warehouse were already on. It had to be in the middle of the night. She was good about turning them off, and nobody else had access to that level. Her mouth suddenly dry, she crept towards the nearby drones under their tarps, the sound of whispers leaking from the shadows. Beyond the drones, near the tall shelves with boxes of spares and tools and emergency rations, a man knelt over the still form of another. The figure turned at the sound of her jangling tools.
Donnie?
Yeah? A flush of relief. The sprawling body beneath her brother wasn't a body at all. It was a puffy suit, laid out with its arms and legs spread, an empty and lifeless form.
What time is it?
She asked, rubbing her eyes.
Late,
he said. He dabbed his forehead with the back of his sleeve.
Or early, depending. Did I wake you?
Charlotte watched as he shifted his body to block her view of the suit. Flopping one leg up, he began to fold the outfit in on itself. A pair of shears and a roll of silvery tape sat by his knees, a helmet, gloves, and a bottle like a dive tank nearby. A pair of boots as well. The fabric whispered as it moved. It was this that she'd mistaken for voices.
No, you didn't wake me. I got up to go to the bathroom. Thought I heard something.
It was a lie. She'd come out to work on a drone in the middle of the night. Anything to stay awake, to stay grounded. Donald nodded and pulled a rag from his breast pocket. He coughed into this before stuffing it away.
What are you doing up?
She asked.
I was just going through some supplies.
Donnie made a pile out of the suit parts.
Some things they needed above. Didn't want to risk sending someone else down for them.
He glanced at his sister.
You want me to fetch you something hot for breakfast?
Charlotte hugged herself and shook her head. She hated the reminder of being trapped on that level, needing him to get her things.
I'm getting used to the rations in the crates, she told him. The coconut bars and the MREs are growing on me.
She laughed.
I remember hating them during basic. I really don't mind getting you something,
Donnie said, obviously looking for an excuse to get out of there, some way to change topics.
And I should have the last of what we need for the radio soon. I put in a requisition for a microphone, which I can't find anywhere else. There's one in the comm room that's acting up, which I might steal if nothing else works.
Charlotte nodded. She watched her brother stuff the suit back into one of the large plastic containers. There was something he wasn't telling her. She recognized when he was holding something back. It was what big brothers did. Crossing to the nearest drone, she pulled the tarp off and laid out a wrench set on the forward wing. She had always been clumsy with tools, but weeks of work on the drones, of persistence, if not patience, and she was getting the hang of how they were put together.
So what do they need the suit for?
She asked, forcing herself to sound nonchalant.
I think it's something to do with the reactor. He rubbed the back of his neck and frowned. Charlotte allowed the lie to echo a bit. She wanted her brother to hear it. Opening the skin of the drone's wing, Charlotte remembered coming home from basic training with new muscles and weeks of competitive fierceness forged among a squad of men. This was before she'd let herself go while on deployment. Back then, she'd been a wiry and fit teenager, her brother off at graduate school, and his first teasing remark about her new physique had landed him on the sofa, his arm pinned behind his back, laughing and teasing her further. Laughing, that is, until a sofa cushion had been pressed to the side of his face, and Donnie had squealed like a stuck pig. Fun and games had turned into something serious and scary, her brother's fear of being buried alive awakening something primal in him, something she never teased him for and never wanted to see again. Now she watched as he sealed the bin with the suit inside and slid it back under a shelf. It wasn't needed elsewhere in the silo, she knew. Donald fumbled for his rag, and his coughing resumed. She pretended to be fixated on the drone while he had his fit. Donnie didn't want to talk about the suit or the problem with his lungs, and she didn't blame him. Her brother was dying. Charlotte knew her brother was dying. Could see him like she saw him in her dreams, turning at the last minute to shield his eyes against the noonday sun. She saw him the way she saw every man in that last instant of their lives. There was Donnie's beautiful face on her screen, watching the inevitable fall from the sky. He was dying, which is why he wanted to stockpile food for her and make sure she could leave. It was why he wanted to make sure she had a radio so she would have someone to talk to. Her brother was dying, and he didn't want to be buried. Didn't want to die down there in that pit in the ground where he couldn't breathe. Charlotte knew damn well what the suit was for.